This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Here we go. Scoreboard Show. Final score in Washington, 41-10. The Redskins over the Jags. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you're outside of the area, 1-800 in front of that. Phone lines are lighting up already. Of course, we'll get to those coming up. But to follow up just on what Fred was talking about, I mean, no rushing attack at all. Chad Henne's the leading rusher in the game.
17 yards on three scrambles.
And Toby Gerhart can't do much on the carries, the limited carries he had today. That's not going to add up to much of anything at all if you don't have any push up front. You don't have anything at all in the run game. They can just tee off on you on the pass rush, and that's exactly what they did with 10 sacks of Henne today.
I understand what Fred's saying, and Fred, believe me, he knows much more about this than we've ever known about this. Teams like to set up the pass with the run. Sometimes you have to set up the run with the pass because you're not able to blow people off the ball, and I think that's what the Jags wanted to come out and do today. And I'm sure Jed Fish was sick. He saw a formation. He saw a play, and it was set up, and Henne hit Allen Hurns, and it bounced off his chest. Now, does that change the outcome of the game? No. It's a 31-point deficit when it's all said and done. But I think maybe that loosens things up. Maybe Washington's respecting you a little bit more. Maybe you can get a few extra first downs running the football early in the first half, and maybe you can have more of a balanced offense going forward. But it didn't work. They didn't hit the play, and you saw the result. 7 carries for Toby Gerhart. He's supposed to be – this is a Jed Fish offense that wants to run it 58% of the time. Now, that's – going to be tough to do when you only have, 38 plays today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What was the final tally on the play? 48 plays. Yeah. 48-81 plays. You're behind all game. You're not going to be able to establish it and stay with that running game, but it's got to be a major disappointment.
The other side of that, yeah, when you go 3 and out and the other team scores touchdowns every time, it's 21-0. Guess what? You got to throw the football
and
get back in the game.
Right now, you got to throw the football. You hit the big play, and you're thinking, okay, we held them at the end of the first half. It's a little Keystone Cop situation with the throw to the end zone. The Jags call timeout. And they really, that was almost emblematic of how the day went, because Gus Bradley's thinking, all right, we had a 4th-and-1 last week. I didn't call timeout. There was chaos out there. And Darren Sproles just went right up the middle for a touchdown. So he's seeing all this happening. The clock was going to run out on the half. He calls timeout, though, afraid they're going to get the snap off. That didn't come back to hurt them. That was just kind of symptomatic of the way the entire day went. But you're thinking, hey, still, we hit the big play. This is just going to be like Philly, right? Philly hit a couple of big plays, got right back in it. Of course, the Jags take the second half kickoff, and it was more the same offensive ineptitude. So, with that, 355.
Are you ready?
NFL, I'm ready.
I'm ready, too.
I think we're going to get washed over with a wave of, well, let's find out what we're going to get washed over
Don't
with.
Don't set the tone before the tone is set.
Cody made the trip, it sounds like. He's in Arlington, Virginia, 355 NFL1. And, Cody, you're going to start us off today on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
JP, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. What's up?
Oh, we're on the bus ride on the way back right now, you know, just with the BCB, both state brigade.
All right.
I got a question. How is Chris Pruszynski still on the team?
Well, you know, great question.
They like his special teams. Honestly.
They talked about his tackling had improved, but of course last week he moved up and got a play behind him. He's supposed to be a good deep player, and that didn't happen last week. This week, didn't show a lot defensively. It's a spot, of course, that's a problem right now for this Jaguars team. That safety spot, it's not deep at all, and it's an issue. But I think you're right. It's the special teams aspect of it that he can do a lot of different things for you. But when the big thing is not complete, that's not a good thing.
We knew they were going to miss Jonathan Cyprian today, whether it was Pruszynski or Josh Evans. I thought, look, watching it on TV, you can't always tell what the assignments are. I actually thought Josh Evans was very active and did a decent job in the run game today. I couldn't tell you what all his responsibilities were. I'm sure he probably gave up some of those plays as well. When you're giving up as many as you are, particularly the tight end, it just seems like the Jags change personnel year after year, and it really doesn't matter they cannot cover tight ends. Niles Paul is not a world beater. They made him into a world beater today. Again, JP, the quarterback goes out. The top receiver goes out. You can argue they're 1 and 1A, but D-Jax goes out. Garcana is a non-factor the entirety of this football game, and the Washington Redskins went up and down the field with ease. So, definite issues, and we didn't expect as many issues on that side of the football.
You know what? We talked about those guys all in the pregame being an issue, but also Alfred Morris, and that's what Jeff Logman, Tony Boselli said. Hey, watch out for Morris. If they get this run game going, it can be a long day. 22 carries, 85 yards, 3.9 average, couple of 1 yard touchdowns. Red had some yardage late. They ran for 191 yards as a team today.
They did, and I thought it. A big product of that, though, was poor tackling. I mean, guys bouncing off ball carriers, not bringing them down in position. At times, Morris would have three guys around him. And I'll credit Jeff and Tony for pointing this out. He did have incredible patience as he was picking his way through. But it was almost like he knew if he waited long enough, something was going to spring open. With all these bodies flying around, somebody has got to be the guy to beat their man and make that tackle.
Okay, back to the quarterback thing. Griffin, 2 of 3, 38 yards, ankle injury. We talked about this before the game, Mike, this you and I, that if Griffin were somehow to go out of this game, he runs around a lot, he has issues with his legs before, if something happens, then Cousins isn't that bad either. Same draft class, he's been around that organization, a different coaching staff, of course, this year, I get it. 22 of 33, 250 yards, two touchdowns. I'm not saying he's the reason why, but Cousins pretty good.
Well, don't think for a second that there isn't a segment of the Redskin fan base that doesn't want to see Kirk Cousins in there.
It's a huge story anyway, up there.
So now you've got a guy in RG3 who led him to 6 points in week one. You got Kirk Cousins who comes in and leads him up and down, up and down, up and down the field all day, and he's running the offense the way Jay Gruden wants it. He's a pocket passer, and that's how he wants to run that offense. And even though it had nothing to do to me, RG3 didn't get hit on the play. His ankle went out, but it was outside the pocket. Is that going to be in the back of Gruden's mind? Is it going to be in the back of Robert Griffin's mind? Does he need to be more cemented in the pocket, which I think takes away from what he does well? That's their issue. Yes. We've got our own 355.
Got a handful.
NFL 1. Let's go to Michael in Jacks Beach next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Not good. And I'm going to tell you right now, that was disgusting what I watched today. You know, man, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the schedule. And there's a good possibility this team can maybe only win one or two games, and that's against Cleveland and the New York Giants. Other than that, man, we're going to go 0-7, 0-6, I guess, up here. I mean, I'm not blaming Henny. That offensive line is atrocious. And, you know, thank God Bortles isn't playing, because I hate to see that guy go out. Just don't get murdered back there. And I'm just upset with Gus Bradley. I don't like the play calls. I don't like Fish. You know what? I don't even like their uniforms, man. And I think this team is such a JV squad. And for me to spend my hard money and try to go back on, you know, next Sunday when they play the Colts, you can forget about it. Forget Team Teal. Forget about O-line dancing in the end zone. The hell with Jacksonville. The hell with the fans. Hell with the Chad Conn. Move the team to London. I'm sick of it.
Well, all right. He's had enough.
He's a little worked up. I was understanding him right up until move the team to London. I'm not going to go that far. I understand the upset, though. I mean,
this is the game to be upset, yes.
It failed in absolutely every aspect. It's last week you can point and say, you know what, division winner, we took advantage, we created some turnovers, we created
splash
some offense.
Splash plays for them, got it done.
You can kind of work your way through that. Not this week. There's nothing that you can hang your hat on and say, well, at least we have this working for us right now. Let's go to Marvin and Jack's Beach before we take a break here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Marvin, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
Good. What's up?
Well, there's not much. As the last caller, I'm maybe not on that level, but I'm extremely disappointed in this team right now. They just don't have it. I mean, honestly and truly, I can hang my hat on the fact that the defense played well in the first half of last week. I can't hang my hat on anything that this team did this week. This week was about as bad as it gets. As far as Jaguar history is concerned, that offensive line, I mean, they might as well have just stood back and just put their hands up and just let them walk through and hit the quarterback. Is about as bad as it gets, and I'm not fed up, but I'm pretty darn close.
That's fair. All that's fair, you know? I think that's a little more of a rational look at it. You can't be happy with it. There's no way to be happy with this game.
No. None. And right now, if you're a Jag fan, and look, I'm not trying to push the agenda, but the only thing you're waiting on right now, after seeing that, is when is Blake Bortles going to play? And I totally get that. That is going to be the feeling. Look, you're thinking, Indy's coming in here. What are we going to do? How can we move this football? We can't run the ball. The passing game, we're just sitting ducks because they know we can't run, and they're just pinning their ears back and coming after us. They're sending more guys than we can block, and they're still not afraid we can beat them downfield because look at the wide receivers. You got a bunch of rookies playing out there, and now one of them's hurt. Maybe you'll get Cecil Shorts back. And on defense, where you thought you were going to be strong, you're anything but after the last six quarters of play.
That's all?
That's all. I got a list more here.
I see like five lists in front of you.
I got them right here. 355 NFL 1. Let's take a timeout.
Yeah, we'll come back in a moment. Phone lines are jammed. 355 NFL 1, 355-6351. Bueller Swiss Watch Company. Proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. More of your calls after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
41-10 final score, Redskins over the Jaguars at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Come protect the bank next week. Jags and the Colts at 1 o'clock. Home opener. Best game day experience of the National Football League with the world's largest video boards. Get your tickets today at Jaguars.com. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. A couple of games active in the NFL. Get to a couple scores. Texans over the Raiders, 17-0. Maurice Jones-Drew is inactive today for the Raiders. Chargers lead the Seahawks 20-14. They're about to start the third quarter there. Late second quarter, Jets over the Packers, 21-6. Broncos over the Chiefs, 14-10. That's late second quarter as well. And a delay still in Tampa. Rams at the Bucks. They're tied at 7.
It's been a weekend for weather delays in football.
I guess
had one yesterday with South Carolina, Georgia. All right, let's get back to it. 355-NFL-1 if you're calling outside of the Jacksonville area. 1-800-355-NFL-1. I think Canada qualifies there. Let's go to Rich, who is from Jacksonville, but he's calling from Calgary, Canada. What's up, Rich? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Well, I had to watch that game in a sports bar, but it wasn't very fun. But I know there's going to be a lot of talk about the quarterback, but when you don't catch the ball, when you don't block, when you don't tackle, when you don't cover anybody, you can't blame it on Chad Henne. But the other thing that surprised me the most was Paul Posluszny. He just didn't have a good game. He was always overrunning the play, couldn't get off blocks. So I was hoping that he would have a better game.
Well, I'm with you on the Henne thing, and that's... It's on everybody.
I could say it's not just on Chad Henne.
Let's put it that way.
Right, but yes. Clearly he's got his role in this as well. And I thought, look.
Certainly today.
10 sacks.
Last week you could have that argument, I think, looking back at it.
More so last week.
Than this week, yes.
Yes, I think today. When you get sacked 10 times, at a certain point you got to go 1-2-3, boom, and the ball's got to either be out of there or it's the double clutch reset in the pocket. After a certain point, when it was jailbreak city, you had to adjust to that. Now, he doesn't have a bevy of playmakers running around out there for him. He loses Mercedes. He's getting nothing out of the running game. We're all sitting here saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they lost this undrafted rookie wide receiver. What's going to happen to the offense? What does that tell you about the state of the offense if you can lose an undrafted rookie receiver and it's going to put you in that kind of situation? The one little bright spot, maybe Allen Robinson today, right? I mean, I'm not going to say anybody had a great game because the team got stomped, but Allen Robinson showed up, made a few plays, and they're going to need him, I think, going forward. They're going to need him in a hurry to make a big impact now.
No doubt about it. The guy's been out all camp and all early in the season, preseason, and rookie's got to step up now, and he certainly did today for a little bit.
Adrian, I'm taking it, took in this game. He's in Baltimore right now on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
How are you, sir?
Good. What do you got?
I got a thought and a question. One, I think that if Jacksonville wins next week versus Indianapolis, I think a lot of people will forgive Chad Henne, offense, whatever, if they can muster a win. And my second thought is, do you think the tight ends being wide open as they are is a fact that we run zone more than we run man?
That's a question I probably can't answer just on that, but I do think it's in part a product of the fact that they've been surprisingly bad at stopping the run. And when they're going to play fake, if they're going to put the ball out there for Alfred Morris and all that linebacking core's got to react to it, and they got to run because nobody's making solo tackles out there today, you leave that gap open between the linebackers and the secondary, and that's got exploited again today.
I think it was on Thursday night on the radio show that Jeff and Tony and I talked about that. And one of the questions was, is covering tight ends going to be an issue this year? And with an offense like we've seen the first 2 weeks against them, obviously it is. Like you said, if the run game's strong, they didn't think it was going to be this much of an issue today. Because the different style of running back and this and that, and it's not the home run type of threat that McCoy was. And that made sense going in.
Absolutely made sense. If you're going to put that much stock in what that front four and by extension that front seven is capable of doing, you know, look at Leroy Reynolds. Bad, bad first quarter for him.
Pulled him out of the game.
Right. I mean, so it was guys that you thought in the preseason, hey, he may not be the fastest guy, whatever. He's a smart guy. He's always in good position. He's going to force his way onto the field to make some plays. Nobody. Posluszny, you name the guy, there's really no standout for them, particularly on that side of the football. I mean, really, you can look at Allen Robinson and say, hey, you know, as a rookie in his second game, had a nice game, but nobody should be holding their head that high today.
Nope.
Make that 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-NFL-1 outside the calling area. Let's go to Saqib on the south side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, just a couple quick things, man. I thought we were built to stop the run. Obviously not. The last two games, people have shredded us. Philly and Washington have shredded us. And can you explain to me, what do they see in Chad Henne that they don't see the CEO, they don't see in Blake Bortles right away? Because there's a lot of rookies that started, and they done pretty good. Can you explain to me about that?
Well, Henny's the guy, and that's the guy they've said is going to be the guy. That's today would have been the day, I think, for Jeff Loggeman said it on the broadcast, Tony said it on the broadcast, that the early in that fourth quarter would have been the time they'd have put him in, at least to get some time. But they've said throughout that Henny's their guy. Don't shoot the messenger, but that's what they've said, and they're going to stick with that, it seems. And they'll go back and watch the tape and see what happens, and we'll see.
When when the question is, what do they see in him? It may simply be a fact of they saw him get pounded today for 10 sacks, and I do think that's a factor. I'm not saying, look, Jeff Loggeman is arguing if you've got better pocket presence and, you know, maybe a little bit better mobility, whatever, maybe you get rid of the football better, maybe you're not taking 10 sacks. But right now, whoever's playing quarterback looks to get set up like a tackling dummy.
Right.
And I think that has to factor into this equation to some degree.
Just saying, he might shake off two or three of those sacks. The other six or seven or eight are sacks, I think, no matter who's back there, right?
Possibly. You know, I certainly, well, at least half of those sacks. Sure, five, six sacks.
You don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. But you're trying to think, well, what we've tried this, okay? And this has been the result the last 2 weeks. 17-point loss, 31-point loss. So at some point you say, you know what? This is not working. No matter what we think about this, we've got to give somebody else an opportunity. And I think the frustrating thing for fans is they it's hard, I think, for the team to articulate what makes Henne better other than he's carried himself the right way, he's a leader, he's done all the things we've asked. Okay, but what, from a playing standpoint, from a purely talent standpoint, makes him the better choice at this point over Blake Bortles? And I think that's what fans are waiting for them to articulate even more. You know, Gus did leave, I thought, a crack open at least for this upcoming week when Jeff Loggeman asked him in the locker room, what are you going to do in terms of lineup changes this week? I don't think he wanted to go directly to the quarterback question because he could get that in every single game. And Gus said, you know what? We're going to take a strong look at it across the board. And I do believe that at least leaves that open to interpretation until we hear definitive sure Chad does. Henne starting in week three. I'd say, look, we thought the earliest that we'd see Blake Bortles was week three. You and I think, JP.
Yeah.
And only if it was a catastrophe the first couple weeks. I didn't anticipate a catastrophe of this magnitude. I don't think, if I'm a betting man, I still think they're going to start Henne. But as they were saying on the broadcast, how could you be surprised at this point in time if they don't?
It's going to be an interesting week around here just to see how that happens and if that happens and the timing of it. Gus Bradley scheduled to speak with the media tomorrow afternoon We've been told a little after noon. That normally is live on Jaguars.com, so if you want to get some reaction after the coaching staff watches the film. The scoreboard show continues in a moment. More of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Phone lines are jammed. We'll also look at some scores from around the National Football League as well. 41-10, Redskins over the Jags. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
Scoreboard Show continues right now.
After the final in Washington of 41-10, Redskins over the Jaguars. Scoreboard Show continues. Yeesh. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. What was that?
I said yeesh.
What does that
yeesh.
Mean? What does that
Never
mean?
Heard that. Just like, whoo.
Oh, like yeesh.
Yeah, okay. Got, sure.
Kind of like
just
that.
Just like that, yes.
Got it. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to your calls coming up.
Yeah, we'll get back to these calls momentarily. I just want to read you a list of no's that I wrote down. No run after catch. This is in no particular order, by the way. Add another no.
Another no. Nice.
No run after the catch. No protection from the O-line. No running game. In no holes or no breaking tackles, nothing. No turnovers forced. Poor tackling. I won't say no tackling. They eventually did tackle some guys to the ground, but bad tackling and very little pass rush.
That's not a no.
Not a no, but it's in the general vicinity of a no.
Okay.
Not much pass rush. Those are just some. You could probably add a half dozen of your own to that. No playmaking, no spark, with the exception of the one play on offense today. No capitalizing on opportunities. You got Allen Hurns. I don't care what year you are. Ball hits you where it hit you on that opening drive. Set the tone for the football game. Catch that. Outrace everybody. You're going 80-plus yards for a touchdown to start the football game.
Got another one for you. No quarterback change either. No,
well, not
at
today.
At least in this game.
Right. And there certainly that opportunity was there. You know, of course, we're all sitting here. You better be on one side of the fence or the other on that. Should they have stopped playing and not had guys like Allen Hurns on the field? Should they have been handing off? Or because if you feel that way, well, then you shouldn't throw Blake Bortles out. But if you're okay with them, you know, fighting it out and trying to get guys some experience, then, yeah, I thought that was certainly an opportunity at that point in time. Let's go to Frank, who's on a bus somewhere. Hi, Frank. You're on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, am I on the air right now?
You are, yes. What's up?
Okay, hey. This is Frank Bergassetti. I just want to tell you, you know, it's a really tough loss we had today. We're in Arlington right now. We just got off the bus. So not a great road win for us. Here's a couple things I want you to chew on that I'm thinking of. You know, granted, we lost on offense, defense, and special teams today, but still offensively, right? Here's my plan. I want to know what you think, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so here's what we got. We got our Blake Bortles and our Chad Henne discussion, okay? What if we did this, okay? What if we use a two-quarterback system? And I'm not talking about we got one guy for one drive and then another guy for the other. I'm talking about we went out there with two quarterbacks at the same time. Like you got Chad Henne dropping back, and you hear Blake go, "Hey, button hook on the left."
Frank.
Lost it.
Yeah.
Is there
what little credibility you were striving to build bus? Up just went right out the window?
Yeah, that didn't take long. Next,
let's go to Carolyn on the north side on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Carolyn.
Can you please give me a minute to say what I gotta say?
Come on,
depends on if you say something like Frank.
Tell everybody we gotta go with the man, Blake Bortles. I guarantee you, listen to me now, you always cut me off every time.
Whoa, that's not fair.
Carolyn, we let you rant and rave for minutes at a time. What are you talking about?
This team will never be the same again. He's a franchise quarterback. Please give him a chance. He would never have got psyched no thing. You're going to get psyched if you can't get out the pocket. Blake Bortles, he would not get sacked.
He wouldn't have got. He would have avoided all 10 of those, huh? All 10 of those sacks he would have avoided today. Carolyn?
Yeah.
Nobody come?
Yes, I am here.
All right, I'm asking you. He would have avoided all 10 sacks, you believe, today.
Out of 10 sacks today, I guess you might have would have got Bortles one time.
Once.
Out of 10. As long as we keep going with Henne, we're never going to win nothing. And I'm going to put it that plain and simple. Bring Blake Bortles in there now. If we don't bring him in there now, our season is over. This man is a talented quarterback. Bring him in now. Once y'all bring Blake Bortles, I guarantee you, he will change things around. I don't care what y'all say. You can talk all night long, talk all day. But the answer is, we need a franchise quarterback to move the chains. Chad Henne could not today move the chains. When the pressure come on, Chad Henne, he fall.
Carolyn, I think you got your point across. And we appreciate the call. We cut you off because you end up repeating yourself after a while.
Trying to figure out who she wants as quarterback. I can't quite.
I think it's Bortles. I think. I'm not 100%
apparently
sure.
Bortles has superhuman Madden strength to get out of sacks. Well, if he's going to get a 9 out of 10 of them, like she said.
Not only 9 out of 10. I think that's a reasonable expectation. Look, Carolyn's passionate about it.
Good.
I think probably a lot of people wouldn't express it the exact same way as Carolyn, but they would probably agree with the overall sentiment of her call. Carolyn, thank you for being consistent and calling every week. Let's go to Ryan in San Jose next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, thanks.
I got to give y'all guys your applause for stepping in the lion's den with some of these callers, you know.
It's all right. I mean, they're upset, reckless. Man. They're passionate fans that want their team to succeed, and we totally understand that.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, here's my three things. Special teams, offense, and defense. And I'm going to start with offense.
That's all you got?
Okay.
Just those three phases. All right.
Toby Gerhart. I'm going to make it quick. Toby Gerhart, the guy can't possibly think he's just going to bore his way through any hole in that offensive line. It doesn't work like that. We have to get somebody back there quick and elusive, number one. Number two, okay, Allen Robinson, he looks okay. No Cecil Shorts, that's fine. Even Marquise Lee, okay. Look, if the offensive line does not make any push or does not do anything, it doesn't matter who you have back there for quarterback. It could be Tom Brady. It could be whoever. It's not going to get done. So I'm not blaming Henne. I'm not going to do this rerun with you guys about bring Bortles in. I'm sure Blake Bortles is looking on the sideline and thinking in the back of his head like, wow, I'm glad that's not me. You know what I mean? So let him sit. The fans have to realize this is a rebuilding process. They have, if they're true fans, they have to weather the storm. And that's just the blink of far as in defense, the defense just had an off day today. It was just an off day. That's just what it was.
Well, yeah.
You know, in special teams, Mike Brown is not going to get it. You have to put someone back there that's going to be, I mean, by God, what's wrong with the guy out of Michigan? He's not even really in the game.
Couldn't catch Robinson, a football last year was a problem. Let us jump in here because we got a lot of people to get to, and you've made a lot of points that we need to address here. Special teams, Ace Sanders is supposed to be your punt returner.
Right,
he's suspended. You brought in Tanner Dawson, led the league in returns last year.
He's hurt.
So it's not like you didn't have a plan to address that position. I agree Mike Brown is not a dynamic punt returner at this point in time. If that's just an off day, the defense – honestly should be embarrassed with the way they play, and I'm sure they are.
You heard Cedric Marks in the postgame show. You don't think he was happy about that,
they
do you?
They should be. I don't think this defense has earned enough just to say, you know what, 41 points today, it's just an off day.
We'll get them next week.
You're talking about six consecutive quarters, and I realize the final touchdown was a defensive score for Philadelphia last week, but you're talking about a boatload of points that went up in the last six quarters against this defense. And offensively, the only thing I'll say about what you said about Toby Gerhart is Toby is who he is, and they signed him to be who he is. So when you say, what does Toby Gerhart think he's going to get done by plowing in the line? That's who Toby Gerhart is. That's who they knew they were getting when they signed him. I don't put that on Toby. You could say that the offensive line is not getting it done, or maybe he's miscast in what they're asking him to do, but a guy like that, JP, needs 15 to 20 carries to wear you down.
Pound him.
He got 7 today, and I'm not even saying that was the wrong thing to do because they couldn't sustain it.
And weren't one or two of those way outside, too? On like an outside zone
there
type of thing?
There are always a few of those.
Maybe he's going to try to cut it, but he just can't get out there in time. He's brought down before he can even make a cut, it seems like.
Well, are they using him the right way? Because we've yet to see him, at least I've yet to see him, run that stretch play effectively throughout the preseason and the first couple weeks of the season. All right, 355 NFL 1. Let's get one more in before we break. That's Jonathan next up in Tallahassee. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
We're all right.
Tell you what, I'm just frustrated with Henny. I'm ready to go to Bortles. I really am.
This is the week that did it, huh?
I want to have a shot at a playoff spot.
Hold on, playoff spot. Do.
Hey. Positive thoughts.
Listen, I like that.
Oakland comes back and beats Houston in the second half today. Indy loses to Philly on Monday night. We're playing for first place next week here in Jacksonville.
Yes, I'm with you on that. Okay, we have this discussion every Monday night with Pete Prisco and Vaselli on this program. And it is a weak division, yes. A 9-win team's going to win this division. As it looks right now, it probably will be Indy. But if all of a sudden you get better in the division, you win a game or two outside of that, then you're back in the hunt again. But this team is, from what we saw today, that they shouldn't be looking anywhere past the film room tomorrow.
They need four quarters of play. They need to put together four quarters of play in the same game before this talk. Let's talk about winning a game.
Yeah, how about this week, getting past this Washington game, figuring this out, getting ready for Indy and playing well in that Indy game, no matter the result. How about that? How about just playing well again?
That would be a start. I'll take the result over the quality of play, I'll be honest with
you. Sure.
You'll take the double, but I agree with you. Even if it does result in the third defeat this season, be competitive throughout. They were competitive for a half of football so far out of four halves this year.
I don't think this team is ready right now to play a subpar game and be in a game. Let's put it that way. They're not going to luck themselves into a game. Last week might have been an argument, but no.
Because they don't have – whereas Philly did that last week, because they have LeSean McCoy and they have Darren Sproles and they have Jeremy Maclin and they have quick strike guys that can score from anywhere on the field. Now, we saw it with Mercedes. Do you think Mercedes will have any more 63-yard touchdown receptions this year? I'm going to bet no. Okay, that's not a knock on him. That's the tight end position.
Just him, yeah.
It was kind of a funky play where he caught it, the guy gambled on it, and he made a nice run to the end zone. The Jags don't have that classic field stretcher right now. Maybe Allen Robinson turns out to be. Maybe Marquise Lee, his run after the catch comes around. Maybe Cecil Shorts gets healthy and has a dynamic rest of the year. They don't have quick strike offense right now. And what are you going to do then? That's why I think you need to dial the pressure up on defense and risk it. You're already losing by 31 points, JP. Send the house. See if you can knock some quarterbacks. See if you can knock Andrew Luck down and make him cough up the football like you did with Nick Foles last week and get some short fields because they're not sustaining anything offensively. All right, 355 NFL 1. Got to take a timeout. More to do, Mike Dempsey.
Oh, yeah.
JP Shattuck. We're going to stick around, right?
I guess so.
We're fighting.
Why not? Hey, we're fighting the good fight tonight. 41-10 was the final score. Redskins over the Jags. 355 NFL 1, 355-6351. More of your calls after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues 41-10. We'll just stop saying the score. Everybody knows what the score was.
The score is 0-2, right?
The Jags are 0-2.
Yeah, it's the record.
After the loss in Washington today. 355 NFL 1, 355-6351. You know, usually at this time of this show, we have a silver lining because field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. But today, you don't even have that. Scobie hit a 36-yard field goal today, and we're going hungry this week.
We are going to – that's it, hunger strike.
Until something gets better.
Until dinner.
Nobody eats.
I'm not going on any hunger strikes. But we've got you on the line. 355 NFL 1, 355-6351. Fans are fired up, and understandably so. Disappointed, upset, whatever way you want to characterize it. Chris in Mandarin, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's your post-game show going, because I know watching the game wasn't that good.
We're hanging in there.
We're getting the reaction you probably expected we would get.
All I have to say is definitely the most disgusting side of football I've ever seen. But I'm going to try to keep my head up high. I love my Jags. Mainly mental. People are overbiting on runs, overbiting on cuts. Mental. That's all I'm seeing. And if everybody keeps throwing Bortles, as much as I want, and everybody wants to see Bortles, you don't want to throw him out to that. as example, we threw Gabbert out to the Wolves, and he became chicken feet in the pocket. We don't want to do that again. Let's let him mature. Let's let him do his thing. You know, for that first half, everybody's probably watching Henny do that against the Eagles, and we're sitting there thinking, keep Bortles on the bench. Now, ever since then, since that first half against Philly, yeah, Henny hasn't looked the best. But I say let's just be patient. Let's trust in Bradley. Let's trust in the system. He's that one guy to me that I haven't had this much faith in since Coughlin. And I think we can get it. I think it's just mental errors by a team that, on average, is 24 years old.
Yeah, young
team. And I'm going to let y'all take it from there.
I think that's a great point. Young team, certainly in secondary. They haven't been around the league a long time, so guys are not normally on the field. Guy like Evans, guys like Cyprian, who aren't out there a lot. I mean, not Cyprian, excuse me. Przinski, who is not out there a lot. He's been around the league for a little bit. Gratz has some mistakes here. Everybody has their moments.
There's some of that, to be sure. But I think you have to be careful of just saying, you know what, we can correct this. We've heard this for too long from multiple head coaches here. It's all correctable. It's all fixable. We're beating ourselves. We know if we play the way we know we're capable of playing, insert the head coach. And they all say the same thing in that regard. So, look, you brought in Chris Clemens and Red Bryant. Derek Marks wasn't paid that money because he's a wet-behind-the-ears rookie. There are guys out there that have experience. Paul Posluszny's played plenty of football, and some of it is attributable to young players making mental errors, sure. 41-10 is not attributable just to a series of mental errors, though. You're getting beat. You're getting beat physically, and you're getting beat by, right now, what appears to be superior talent as well. All these factors coupling in, you don't have playmakers on this offense that scare anybody right now. When you're watching the film against the Jags, JP, if you're the opposing defense coordinator, what are you thinking? Pick your poison? I mean, really, what makes you fear this Jaguar team?
Not much. Rookie receivers. And, you know, there was a couple plays today where Marquise Lee did that wide receiver screen thing. You'd step back and go to the left. Those guys jumped it every single time.
They really, to the point where it was either Jeff or Tony on the broadcast said it's almost like they had the playbook that they knew, you know what, they're going to complete a 4-yard pass here. No run after the catch today. Just hardly any plays did they have any successful run after the catch.
Because the team is so young and limited in what they can do, at least right now, that's some of their go-to play. We've seen it the first 2 weeks. That's what
Simplify
they do.
Simplify it, get the ball in Marquise
Get it out
hands.
Wide, get the defense going wide, and then throw deep. Well, if you can't get them wide to begin with, you're not going to be able to throw it deep either.
Let's go to JR up next on the Scoreboard Show. He is somewhere near the Intercoastal Waterway, I'm told. What's up, JR? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, so I want to first of all agree with the last caller that I truly trust Gus Bradley and his rebuilding process. Now, with that being said, I'm not ready to throw the season away just because we're 0-2. It is a rebuilding process, and we have to go through the process. The issue is I think, which I kind of have to disagree a little bit, that I think we do have some playmakers on our team. I think the issue is that, you know, especially with a lot of callers that are calling in, it's the fans' cop-out to the real issue, and the real issue is our offensive line. I mean, if we can't get any push on the line, if we're getting negative plays on first down, there's nothing that we can do, no matter. I mean, for as many times as Henny was sacked, knocked down, rushed today, I don't care who you put back there, like, I mean, you're in trouble. So my question is this: if offensive line is really our biggest issue on offense, in my opinion, where do you go? Do you go the thought process of going with continuity, or do you go with opportunity, meaning that, you know, is it too, you know, rash to start changing the lineup and making substitutions, or do you give some guys an opportunity? I'll give you a small example. The right tackle that they put in today, Young, he looked pretty good to me. He has good feet. He's big. He was going to the point of attack. Is this a time for us to start looking at the offensive line and what the real issue is, or do you think I'm wrong? I'll take your answer.
All right. Well, let's start with Young. First of all, he's a fifth-year player. He's been around the league for a little while, and he's a right tackle. He's never going to play on the left side. He's a guy that's been around. They know what he is. It was to the point, though, where you had to throw somebody else out there to see what could happen, to see if they can stop the rush.
That was like it couldn't get worse at this point.
If it wasn't Sam Young, if it was somebody else as a backup, that somebody else would have been in there too.
Right. It wasn't that Sam Young forced his way on the field.
No offense to Sam Young,
forced his way off the field.
That's what he is. That's what that is.
And keep in mind, that's the one spot that you shouldn't be sweating yet because your starter hopefully is coming. That's the one guy that's going to ride in to give you a little bit of help right now. But yeah, I agree that the offensive line is the biggest of many issues, though, and I will disagree about this. Where are the playmakers? By NFL standards, you can look at Toby Gerhardt. Toby Gerhardt's never done it as a starter in the league. I'm not saying he's incapable of doing it.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
He has no track record of doing it. Okay, so as a defense coordinator, he's not scaring you. Cecil Shorts is not out there playing. You're talking about three rookies and Mike Brown, who is just, I'm sorry, by NFL standards, he's as average as the day is long. He's a solid player. They like what he does. He's not a bad guy. He's not a bad player. But he's not a game breaker by or even close to that category. And Mercedes Lewis looked like he was going to have a really nice year for you. You hope. And now he's down with an injury. We don't know the extent of that time table.
Is Ace Sanders on your playmaker list?
I wouldn't have put him there. First of all, you don't have him available.
Right, he's not
right now,
but if he's back, when he's back,
let's take a look. Right, I mean he was a playmaker in college. I know that he, but we all understand the transition from college to the NFL is not always a seamless one. But somebody's got to get a look. You know, I think Allen Robinson's going to get more looks now. Certainly, when Cecil Shorts comes back, they've got bodies in there. They're deeper than they've been, but there's still not that one guy at the top of the pecking order that everyone says, "Hey, look, let's look at Denver. What are we going to do about this Demaryius Thomas guy, this Julius Thomas guy, these different guys?" You don't have that guy. Most teams have at least one guy that you go and say, okay, that's who we stop, and we got a great chance to win. You can't name that guy on this team.
Is Mercedes Lewis that guy?
I don't think he
now with a high ankle
certainly
sprain.
Not now, and I think maybe out of default. But you look at Mercedes' track record of his career, he's not a guy who – he's not Antonio Gates. You know, he's a good, solid player, and his value is probably as much in that run blocking, being that sixth offensive lineman and being a solid veteran who knows what he's supposed to do out there as anything. Let's get back to it. Kevin in Savannah, next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Got a few things. I hope you let me through. Get them out. The nice lady from Jacksonville was correct. I mean, if Bortles was in there may have been five sacks. I watched him in the preseason. I've watched Henny now for 3 years. Maybe five sacks if Bortles was in there. You have to stop saying that the offensive line is so bad we can't put Bortles in there.
Hold on. Nobody's saying that. We're trying to guess inside the head of the coaching staff as to why. I would play. We'd all play Bortles.
Just the messenger here.
You're right. We're just trying to. When people say, "Why is the coaching staff sticking with Henny?" We're trying to come up with reasons why we think they might be doing that. So, you know, just be clear on that when you say you have to stop saying this. Nobody here is saying that that's a reason to not play Blake Bortles at this point in time.
Okay, I understand that now. You know, it's human nature as a ball player. You're going to let down if you don't think the best players are playing. And I honestly believe that the Jaguar players, the defense, everyone, receivers, the team perks up when Bortles was in the game in preseason. And I honestly believe you're doing a disservice to the rest of the players by not playing another reason to play Bortles. And the last thing I'd like to say is, you know, I've been playing football. I played football through high school, not good enough to play college. I watch a lot of football, and I think I know football. Everyone knows the people in the backfield are eligible receivers. The people on the line of scrimmage that are on the end, on the line of scrimmage, are eligible receivers. Gus Bradley's a defensive guru, and there are people running wide open. It's a simple assignment. It's crazy to me that the defense, I mean, this group has been together now for a while. The way they're letting these guys just run wide open is beyond me, and it's just not acceptable in my opinion. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for the call.
It makes us 2 weeks in a row. I mean, the tight ends, that's what he's referring to. It makes sense. It's got to be addressed.
Tight ends have killed this team.
Got to be addressed.
For pre-Gus Bradley era, and it continues into this era. I'll say, in terms of this team being around together for a while, come on. I mean, not that many of these guys have played together that long, really. You look up and down how many first and second year players are playing out there. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. It's got to be better than it was. I'm not arguing that point.
Sure.
But I don't think this is not like a veteran team that's played together for 4 or 5 years on either side of the football.
Phone lines are open. We have one last segment. 355-NFL-1. The fifth quarter show is coming up as well. When we come back, the final segment of the Scoreboard Show. The Jags are 0-2. They lost today in Washington. We'll withhold the final score. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Scoreboard Show, final segment. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. 41-10. Okay, it's the last time I'll say it. Final score, Redskins over the Jags. Jags are 0-2. They'll welcome in the Indianapolis Colts next week. JTA Stadium Shuttle Service makes game day more enjoyable by providing hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Baptist Health Injury Report. Mercedes Lewis, high ankle sprain. Not sure of how long he'll be down. The other day was Alan Hearns at the very end of the game. An ankle injury of some kind. Not sure the severity of that as well. Cyprian was out with the concussion this week. Keep following his return if he's able to go this week. And certainly the Jags D would hope that he's ready to go. It's been an issue behind him, certainly. Phone lines, we'll take one last call here. 355-NFL-1. But the fifth quarter show is coming up. So if you didn't get in on the show, T-Wig and Hacker will be waiting for you. 641-1010. Let's get the last call in.
Let's do it. Thank you, Carl and Keystone Heights, for hanging on. You're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I really enjoy y'all's 1010 XL programs like Jaguars Today, Jaguars Monday, Jaguars Thursday. I really enjoy it. I think y'all are doing a heck of a job, even on the website with Osher and all them guys. But forgive my ignorance, but would it be appropriate to bring guys in? I know the season has already started, and I know that Gus said about personnel, but would it be appropriate or necessary maybe to bring guys in to replace some of the guys that's not getting the job done? And again, forgive my ignorance, but that is just something I was thinking about that I would be interested in knowing what you guys think. Or is Gus going to be committed to growing and developing the players that he has? Thanks, guys. I'll take it off the air.
Well, thanks for holding, and thanks for the call. I mean, it's week two. There's not like there's a whole stable of players that are ready to start in the National Football League waiting on the streets. That's
the idea is, look, you have a pro personnel department that monitors the status and ability of all those guys that are eligible. We're talking about, you have a college scouting department or a pro personnel department, and you constantly monitor what's available to you. And you saw last year a lot of turnover after the Jags' final cuts because that's the state of the roster. And you hope as this team gets better, you're going to see fewer of these guys get picked up that get cut in final cutdowns. The fact of the matter is, if you thought that guy was better, he'd already be on this roster. And that's the bottom line. I mean, it's not like Dave Caldwell is going to be so stubborn to say, you know what, I drafted Josh Evans. There's a better safety out there. I'm just not going to pick him up because it's going to make me look bad. Ultimately, if you pick up a better player, it's going to make you look good. So they constantly do that. I don't think it's a dumb question. But this idea, you know, a caller a couple calls ago said, we got to replace some of these guys on the offensive line. With what?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you do, but, well, yeah, where?
If there were better alternatives out there, you had, how many offensive linemen were on this roster, JP, when it was a 90-man roster? A bunch of them, right?
Right.
And you took a look at all of them. And these were the best of what you had. And you went out and tried to pick up all the good ones you could and bring them in and monitor the other ones that are available. If there were that pool of players out there, I'd say, yeah, dip into it. But they do that constantly as it is.
And guess what? There's 31 other teams in the league that probably need some offensive line help too, you know?
Doing the exact same thing.
Maybe not 31. There's some teams that have some really good offensive lines.
Sure, your point, whether it's offensive line or any other position group, it's constantly being done in the National Football League.
We got through the Scoreboard Show, Mike.
I knew we would.
Yes.
It wasn't as
everybody's upset, and it you should be. It's 41-10.
And I knew they would be.
And they would be.
And with justification.
But I think everybody had fair points tonight of being upset with it, and I'm sure it'll be a fun week on radio.
I don't doubt that a moment. And what will make it a lot more fun is if they put all this behind them and cap it with a home victory against the Colts next week.
We'll be on the air at 10 o'clock Sunday with the Publix Tailgate Show. 12 noon with network coverage. Countdown to kickoff, a 1 o'clock kick here at Everbank Field. There are tickets available for that one. Should be a good one here. The home opener, the division rivals, are coming in. Our thanks to Tony Smith on the board, Linda Fortunato answering the phones tonight. For Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick. Stay tuned. The fifth quarter show is next. Hacker and T-Wig will take your calls. 904-641-1010 is the number. That's it for the Scoreboard Show. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Radio.